It's time for Caffeinated Comics, a lively discussion and debate on comics, film, television, and collectibles, all fueled by the magic of Frappuccinos. Caffeinated Comics is sponsored by Chimeras Comics. Chimeras is your one stop for comic books, graphic novels, hero clicks, Magic the Gathering, and more. Explore the fantastic at Chimeras Comics. And now, here's your hosts, John and Steven.
Thank you, this is Caffeinated Comics. I'm John Clark. With me, as always, is my co-host,
Steven Brown.
We got a full room, so we have a, we're going to have an echoey room today, I think, because we're sharing mics, and we have so many mics in the room that mics are bleeding all over the place. We're lucky the door's closed at this
Who
point.
Who else is in the room, John?
Dave Redfield is
hey
in the room.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Who sounds like he is right up against the mic, and he's actually the farthest one away. Dave Gonzalez is back.
Holla at your boy.
It's been a while since David. And Lisa and Tina are here sharing a mic.
Hey. What's up?
Which
is the way I picture it when I listen to shows that they're on.
Yeah.
Even when they're on opposite sides
they're
of the room.
They're always just, like, leaning in a little.
Everybody wants to be a part of this show. Everybody is a mess right now. We had two mics break down before we started. Almost everyone in this room is hungover. I'm not hungover, but I haven't had coffee until now, so I haven't been in a good mood. But everybody wants to be on the show today because this week is Batman's 75th anniversary.
Yay!
Yeah,
we got a comic coming in.
That old motherfucker.
Giveaway.
Yeah, it's a reprint of Detective Comics 27.
Isn't it? It's that and a smattering of some other things.
Ooh,
yeah.
A smattering.
Why is it Detective 27?
Because that was the first appearance of Batman.
Oh, okay. So they were doing that with a bunch of other just Batman stories?
They're reprinting Batman's first appearance, and I think they've done...
They're doing an updated version of it.
Yeah,
as well.
And they did this in the...
Isn't that what Year Zero is, an updated version
I
of?
Think it might be reprints of
well,
that,
yeah,
but they also did it in the 80s. They did it in the 80s, and I think in the 70s.
That was because of Infinite Crisis and Infinite Earths.
Chemical, the Curse of the Chemical Syndicate, they've reprinted that. But also...
Wow.
There were so many announcements lately that people had very, very strong opinions of.
Mm.
Faces.
Tina already with the sound effects.
I know.
Let's start off.
Angry faces.
Tina, what do you want to talk about?
I think to start off, I would like to talk about the new 12-year-old Batgirl who's taking a selfie.
All right.
Can
well,
we start
hang on
there?
One second. Let me address in the selfie.
In the defense of that, yeah, in the defense
yeah.
of that cover, and I said this to you on Facebook.
Oh, I know.
They're
I know.
Doing variant covers of everyone in the new 52 taking
right.
selfies.
I get that,
yeah.
But she still looks 12.
She does look 12.
12.
Yeah.
12.
Does, and Gail Simone is leaving.
Let's not even get started about that because that just breaks my heart. And I told Gail it breaks my heart, and she said it breaks hers too, but she has to move on.
But in Gail's defense, though,
yeah,
she is going to be on
again.
Another
yeah,
DC
she is.
Book.
She is getting another
We're
DC
she
book.
Is.
Yeah,
she's not yeah it, that hasn't been announced
Which
yet.
Which is better
but...
than the first time she left Batgirl. Because when a new editor came in, they just kicked her off.
Yeah, and
then
like,
she didn't have any DC work.
Right.
And then the backlash happened. She missed two issues and came back.
Yeah, because
yeah,
that was
so
Parker.
Why is there not a backlash this time?
Because she's voluntarily, like, she's saying she thinks...
She's done.
According to what she told me on Twitter... She said that she feels like it's time to move on and that she's done with Batgirl for now. Like, she's told her story and she needs to move on.
Yeah. I think it's a smart move before the thing tanks.
Yeah,
yeah
don't
absolutely.
Pull Jeff Jones.
Yeah.
Stay,
right, so if she doesn't have any fresh ideas, then that's okay.
Yeah.
But I want to know, like, okay... Since the rest of the Bat books, for the most part, are shit, what am I going to read now?
And that is
like,
another thing everyone wants to talk about.
Yeah.
I got to say,
about where the
Batman
books are.
On the shelf is a bowl of shit looking at itself in a mirror.
Well, who currently
Not
reads...
Batman and Robin. I will defend Peter Tomasi.
Yeah.
And
I've heard
I completely agree.
Peter
yeah,
Tomasi reads a Batman book and is really satisfied with it. Raise your hand.
I'm Batman and Robin.
So
and
we
Bat
got
Girl.
The three over here.
I have one book.
So that's Steven, that's Lisa, that's Tina, and that's John.
But I am we were talking about this on Facebook, which is kind of how the topic got started. Mm-hmm. I'm still reading four Batman books.
Yeah, you always will.
And
you say that.
I'm reading Batman because I was loving Snyder and Capullo and they haven't done anything to make me quit yet, and I feel like once Zero Year's out and then Endgame comes in, Endgame might go back to as good as they were. Detective, I keep thinking I'm going to quit, but I like the art. But then again, it's the same team that was on Flash, and I didn't stay with Flash.
I'm also enjoying Detective.
Yeah.
That's
the one I and I like Batman Probably Eternal. Sure. I'm surprised. We're 15 weeks in, and I'm still enjoying it. I don't think it's the greatest book, but every week I go, oh, okay, the story's moving along.
It's
I'm interested.
Trading it every week.
Yeah. But
I tried to read the most recent one, And I couldn't make heads or tails. I have no idea what's going on in that book.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, it's not a jumping on point. No,
jumping on point was number one. Yeah. That's why, because it's a weekly title.
I hate weeklies. You can't just pick it up in the middle because it's fucking comes out weekly. It's like,
you have to be in there. And because of that, I also feel like I can't jump out. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like I'm in this stream that's going to go for years.
Oh, I jump out.
And I forgot to mention, we are having an in-studio contest.
Does that mean in this studio?
Yes,
right here.
During this episode,
game on.
The other big news that happened this week is they showed the box art and they announced the date for the Adam West complete Blu-ray series, which will be November 11th. But the person in this room who makes me laugh the hardest on this episode will be awarded my bootleg edition. That I bought at the first C2E2 for $50, which I obviously can't sell to anyone. So whoever does not want to buy the Blu-rays in November, like I will be doing because that's the kind of Bat fan I am, can go home with fairly crappy editions of every episode.
Every episode, it's a complete. And
it is
the movie?
10 DVDs. Not the movie, but all three seasons.
Boo, I don't want it.
The movie is commercially available.
Fuck that.
Well, then don't do anything on this episode.
I'm not going to make any jokes today.
Why don't you just swing your mic over to Dave and go to sleep?
Right. Oh, my God. That sounds awesome.
Tina, what Bat book are you reading right now?
Right now I read Batman and Robin, because that has actually, it got a little fuzzy there for a while Damian died, but I think it's gotten a lot better. I read Batgirl, because that is the only one that I feel has been really good.
Now, Tina, will you stay on Batgirl when it switches?
I will give it a try. Okay. I can say that. I'll give it a try.
The costume looks dope. Come on.
Not on a 12-year-old girl, no.
The girl thing is wrong, but the costume's dope.
It's a nice costume, but to be honest, for me, I'm looking for reasons to pare down my Bat budget, and I was reading Batgirl for Gale.
Yeah, that's, well,
so
yeah,
it,
I mean,
it
I
gives
think,
me a very easy out.
Yeah,
I think there'll be more people jumping on it than jumping off.
Probably.
Yeah, and that's fine.
They released pictures of that costume online, and then like a day later, there
people
were
like
30
really
like
it, yeah. It is, I will admit, I think I like the costume a lot, I just don't like how they're drawing her. Maybe it's just that one picture. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, I think only time I have with it, and I'm not reading Batgirl, and I probably never will.
That's so sad.
She's the new 52 Batgirl, but it's Barbara Gordon, right?
Yeah.
So in her life, she's been paralyzed by the Joker, regained, and then was like Oracle.
Because even in the new 52, she was paralyzed. No,
but in the new 52, she was not Oracle.
She didn't
Oracle does not exist.
She was just paralyzed, and that was it?
Yeah, she was paralyzed.
But she was Batgirl for years. She got paralyzed.
Yeah.
How long was she in the wheelchair for?
I think it's only like a couple years, maybe five at the most.
Yeah, right.
I was going to say like two.
Well, no, isn't the whole new 52 is supposed to only be 5 years old?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
like
I would say
like she,
maybe then
like
a year.
Like 2 years?
Maybe.
Two at the
maybe.
Most?
Because
yeah.
Grayson's supposed to be like, what, 21, 22? Not even, because mm-hmm. Batman's supposed to be at the age of 23.
And that's why Tim Drake was never Robin in the
right.
new 52,
because
they just didn't have time to shove him in.
And I think this is my big problem, is just like, how the fuck is anyone even reading this shit?
There's a don't ask, don't tell with all the Batman books.
No, but and it's every DC book right now.
And
like you can't. I was trying to explain today, to like, the continuity of DC and, like, the
good
timeline.
Good luck.
Yeah, have fun.
Because when they explained it to us when this started, Action Comics was 6 years in the past. All the other books were this, like, right now, were happening right now. And then, like, Demon Knights was, like, 1,000 years ago, and, like, the Legion books are in the future. But it's like, alright, now Action and all these other books are on issue 32. Is Action 6 years behind still, or is it...
No, it was just that first arc when Grant had him in the t-shirt and jeans. And then when Grant finished that story, it jumped up to present day. Once he was
Superman,
in that new 52 costume.
That confused the shit out of me.
Superman
no
did
idea.
Not get helped by the new 52.
And he was supposed to be the one who got the most help, because they've said repeatedly... DC always feels like if they're not selling Superman well, like, the whole company is like...
But they still haven't.
Yeah. But they've never... When has Superman ever sold well, except when they fucking killed him?
John Byrne?
In the 80s?
Yes, exactly.
It's just like...
Okay, so aside from Batgirl and Batman and Robin, I'm also reading Batwoman, which The story gets kind of... sometimes, but I'm loyal to it just because there aren't any... relatively mainstream LGBT superheroes.
Right, well, so, and J.H. Williams walked off that book.
Right.
You know, he didn't
off. He was
Was he fired? Or
he was fired. Like, what the story is...
I thought they wouldn't let him do the story, so he quit.
No, the story was he was at a convention, and he was up on the Batwoman panel, and then someone announced, like, why are you off of Batwoman? Yeah. And he's like, what are you talking about? And goes, like, I just read. And the person pulled out the phone and said, it's listed here that you're not in the next storybook for... Batwoman, and that's the first time he ever heard of that.
Canned and
he listened on a panel.
Yeah, he read the article.
I once got fired by the IT guy. Left.
Sucks.
That was pretty bad.
But Dave, you've been reading Batman Forever. Like, that's your boy.
Yeah.
What happened?
Batman Forever is a terrible film.
No.
It just dropped off. I always blame it on the writers. Like, if you can't keep my attention, that's on you. You should make me want to buy the book, read the book, like, right when it comes on. That's your responsibility as a writer. That's what you get paid for, right? So when I was reading Batman, the main title, I thought the first two arcs were awesome. Death of the Family, like, that ending just, like, it ruined it for me.
I just read that again this morning. I pulled the graphic novel out.
Yeah, it wasn't what it was supposed to be. It was so oversold, and then you drop down in that Clayface story like that. So
what was the story in Death of the Family?
Death of the Family was the complete Batman family that he's created has a falling out with the Joker being, like, kind of the villain of that one, where he goes in and he proves to Batman that it's a love poem that Joker has to Batman, saying, I love you more than your family, and I'm going to show you by taking away your family, kind of thing.
Right, so he systematically destroys all the trust that everyone in the Bat family puts in Batman, so now they're questioning, like, how did they, are you kidding? Like, what? And so they all start pulling away from Bruce.
Yeah, but what was the reason for the trust? What was the reason?
The reason is that Bruce never told anyone that he found a Joker card in the Batcave.
Oh yeah.
And
he couldn't
tell if it was stuck to the Batboat or if Joker had ever gotten in.
Yeah.
And that was the first part, and then the second part at the very end, he never told anyone that he took that Joker card as Bruce Wayne and went to Arkham Asylum and was like, "What is this?" And he said the Joker looked right through him, and he was like, he doesn't care that I'm Bruce Wayne, he doesn't remember I'm Bruce Wayne.
But he
basically gave away his identity to Joker. But I agree with you. I read Death of the Family again this morning, and it built really, really well.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it until I read it all at once, was that every issue, it has a different setting, where the Joker comes in with ruins every section of Gotham City, and it gets closer and closer. The first issue is the Gotham Police Department. The second issue is Gotham City.
Yeah.
And then it's Arkham Asylum, and then it ends in the Batcave. So he just gets closer and closer.
Yeah, he just zeroes out.
But there is a big body count, but you never... But he set it up like a horror story, so you always just find dead bodies, so you forget about him. Because you never see him really do anything.
Well, I think it was the ending that they dropped the ball. Like, they're building it off like he's cutting off people's faces. And we're like, oh my God, whose face is going to be on the platter?
Everybody thought Alfred was dead for a couple of issues.
And the best part of that story that really popped off was the end stories that were going on. Like, they were so amazing. The little tidbits by Jacques and Raphael Albuquerque.
Oh, the backups,
The backups were like, those were brilliant. Like, those little excerpts of, like, Harley cutting off her face. And, like,
And Joker Shanghai and Riddler and Penguin into working with him.
And putting them all in that way. Like, those are so brilliant. Like, those did so good. You were waiting for the next issue to, like, incorporate those.
Mm-hmm. And some of the tie-ins were great. I mean, going back to Batgirl, to Gail Simone, her arc with
of Death of the Family.
Yeah.
That one felt necessary.
Yeah,
you know, the other ones were kind of like, oh, Batman's doing Joker, let's do a Joker story.
So you go back into Batman, and then you go into year zero, and there was a drop-off in talent, like, all together, is what I felt. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the art wasn't as good. It looked like it was being rushed.
See, I thought Capullo's doing better art on Zero Year than he has been, but I think the story's been weaker and unfocused.
It's choppy and fast. Like, compared to, like, I went back to Batman 1. You ever seen that? Like, you seen the art of Batman 1? Like, it's ridiculous and beautiful. Like, he put some time into that bad boy. And if you could do that in a month, I'm already expecting you to do that every month, kind of thing. And I can understand you need a new Batman. So that's that. I was really enjoying Nightwing. That was, like, my favorite.
Oh, my God, yes. That is the other Gotham City book that I'm reading. Was Nightwing.
This had a big announcement.
Oy. Explain.
Like, what happened in Nightwing?
Nightwing was really dope because he was coming into his own as, like, just off. Like, they respected. And as far as I understand, like, and Scott Snyder in another podcast said that, like, Batman was the most unaffected by the reboot. Like, the years are off for sure. But as in stories, like, they're pretty consistent. So Nightwing...
Well, Batman always felt New 52 was just new creative teams.
Yeah.
And that's it, because Batman was selling. Like, Batman and Green Lantern were the two that weren't affected by New 52 because they were both selling really well, so they didn't want to lose the leadership.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nightwing was really dope. Like, he was coming to his own. He moved to Chicago.
Yeah, no, it was great. I actually loved the move to Chicago, not just because we're from Chicago.
Yeah, but is it because he's a Sox fan?
That too.
That too.
Sure. I mean, that actually has a big part of it. But no, I mean, I think it was good. I think we got, you know, it was, it had its moments of like the action and like, you know, wondering, okay, well, what's going to happen next and stuff. But I think it was funny. It was really funny. Well,
it was really about, it was, because it was really about Nightwing. It had nothing to do with the Bat family.
Exactly.
It established him again as a solo character because now he's going back to the guy that killed his family. So that was the whole thing. Like, he's going to find this guy and figure out what happened.
And it reminded me of when his series first started, when Chuck Dixon and Scott McDaniel moved him to Bloodhaven, and Bloodhaven was a brand new location.
Those were so good.
And that run is so good.
Absolutely.
That it felt like a return to that.
Because Bloodhaven was supposed to be, like, a worse Gotham. Because in Bloodhaven, the cops were all dirty.
It was supposed to
be. No one worked with Nightwing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, he was already, anytime he was on the scene, they were always shooting at it was him, supposed like, the good and the bad guys.
A smaller, shittier city. It was supposed to be like Gary, Indiana.
Yeah.
It was like you could get there in an hour. Or if you're in New York, it was supposed to be Newark. Like, you could get there in an hour from Gotham City.
And it's a dump.
Yeah, it was the kind of thing you just drive through on the freeway.
The cooler part about this Nightwing, though, is that he brought with him in this run the confidence level of being Batman, which was a new dynamic altogether.
Yes. Oh, yeah, after the Grant Morrison
Like, after he was Batman, he's like, I don't need to call Bruce to do this.
Right, I can do this myself. I'm confident. I can handle my own villains. I can handle Batman's villains. Yep. I'm fine. I can do what I need to do. And I love that. It makes him more confident.
It was really... It was, you know, until they got the red eyeliner somewhere down the mask.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
I was never crazy about the red. That
me
was one
either.
Thing.
No,
I the blue and
gotta
black,
stick with the blue.
Blue and black
which you
like
can't
Nightwing
see, obviously, because it's a podcast, but I am wearing the black and blue Nightwing. Yeah, not the disco wing.
I never understood the red. Was it just to get a hint that he was Robin because Robin wore red?
They were trying to, excuse me, they were trying to tie all the Bat family together, I think, because Jason has the red hood. Red Robin is
Tim.
Red.
I hate Tim's costume.
Oh my God.
In New 52. It's this big image vomit explosion.
Yes, absolutely.
There's like traps nowhere. I love the Tim Drake Robin. He's my favorite Robin. And part of this. Oh, that is the other announcement this week that we're getting to. 17 Minutes. Robin Rises came out this week.
Yes, it did.
Which ties right back into Batman and Robin, which we've already said is the best Batman book. And they're saying Robin's coming back, but they're not telling you who. Part of me. I doubt it, but part of me is hoping that Tim Drake will finally be Robin in the New 52.
Probably not.
What are you saying about
not.
Robin Rises? Did you read it?
I didn't read it yet, but I'm just tired of this whole, like, Damian has been drawn as a skeleton more than anything else I've ever seen in my life. Like, leave that poor boy alone.
Yeah, the ad's not great.
Bring him back or leave him buried.
Yeah, like,
let's,
he's just
come on.
Dead all
let's
the time
let's just do
now.
It.
Like, the one time I remember was, like, Jason Todd in the Jim Lee run where he was, like, a skeleton. And, like, oh, man, that was kind of eerie. But now, like, I'm numb to it because they always draw Damian.
It's like an overused image.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like,
and
leave
back
alone.
To that Jim Lee run, that's why we have Red Hood, was because of that fake reveal in Hush.
Yeah,
when Hush revealed himself to be Jason Todd, and then the next issue they were like, ah, it's actually just Clayface.
Just kidding.
But people went so insane that Judd Winnick was like, well, all right, Jason Todd.
Judd was dope.
Back.
That story, The Lost Years, was dope as hell.
I mean, the Red Hood was good. I didn't like it when it came out because the whole time I'm like, just don't bring it back. It's like bringing Uncle Ben or Bucky back. And
but they did.
At the same time, they were bringing Bucky back.
Yeah. That's a wasted character because his complex and relationship with Batman is so amazing. Like, it's so complex.
And
like,
he was and he was popular enough that you could have wiped him out with the New 52 the way they did Spoiler until now, or Wally West.
Or Cass.
But he was,
or Cass Kane. Where's she at?
Or Renee Montoya. Where is Renee Montoya?
So we're saying where are all the women?
No,
is that
she's
what
not.
We're saying?
Oh no, that's clear. That's just, like the fact is like in the Batman universe. I just feel like any female Batman character has been like, cool.
Yeah,
we'll
like
bring
let's
in later.
Let's move Huntress to Earth
Except
2.
Batgirl.
Yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
And
no,
Batgirl,
no, no,
but, and Batgirl was like, you're getting an issue on the first month, and we're getting you out of the wheelchair, and there's no Oracle.
Yeah,
that was the only female Bat character. That
this
they
is
really
what I
got
think
behind.
Is going on with like the Bat. Bat universe, just them, they are taking the whiny, helpless females and giving them books, and all the strong ones they either haven't brought back into the New 52 or they don't exist anymore. So, like, case in point, like, Cass kicked ass,
yes.
Renee Montoya kicked ass, and now they're going to bring back Stephanie Brown. I I hate they, Stephanie.
They, like, they just did in Eternal.
No, she needs and to she's die not, she and stay dead.
Yeah, how do you really feel, Lisa?
I can't stand. She's whiny. Like, I hated the whole thing with her with, like, War Games. I'm like, oh my god.
I finally read it last week. I went through my collection, and I was like, oh, I have every issue of War Games, so I'll finally read
it. She's just wishy-washy and like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gonna be a super strong, like, superhero, and then, oh, I have to have someone save me. Like, where's Tim?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
Tim
she was designed as a love interest in Robin. And
right,
when
and
they
it's a shallow
elevated
development.
Her up to the Batman books, they didn't really give her character any more weight to handle.
This
they
is the character who is the daughter of the ripoff Riddler.
Clue Master.
Yeah.
Is she really?
I did not know that.
And that's a big thing in Eternal.
Probably because I don't care about her.
Her story arc in Eternal is that she was never spoiler, she was never anything, and she just found out her father's Clue Master, and now her father's trying to kill her. So she's on the run in Gotham City.
This sounds exhausting.
Whatever happened to Batman's little female sidekick that's really good as a, like, going around fixing the power lines?
Aunt Harriet?
Harper Row.
John and Harriet. Batman's very useful sidekick.
So far, I am winning the Batman DVD.
No,
he's winning his own contest.
For real, though. Let's
Harper Row is an Eternal.
What is she doing?
Right now, she is teamed up with Tim Drake, and they're lining her up to become Bluebird, another hero. So they're paying that off. But
that's a waste, because that one Becky Coolin drew it. Like,
Becky Coolin, this is incredible.
Who
but
was taking
in the
over one of the new books? Isn't it?
Becky Coolin that wrote that Harper Row story, first female Batman artist in 75 years.
That's awesome.
Really?
Yeah. First female artist to draw Batman in 75 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the Batman titles.
And the story was great. Her origin, the reason why she wanted to do it, the reason why she wanted to help Batman.
I read those issues. Took initiative.
That was good. Yeah.
She was a strong female character. It had depth. They developed it well. And she wasn't, like, going to sit around and be helpless or needed people.
I really thought Snyder was setting her up to be the next Robin.
Yeah, I think I'd be okay with that. I think a lot of people
it seemed like
she was there and then all of a sudden just gone.
But, you know, but this brings me to my biggest problem with the Batman books right now is that...
Oh, holla. It's Batman.
That's Dan DeDito right now.
The problem with DC Comics is you five people are making fun of them. Therefore, we're going to kill you.
But here's a Batman character that I miss. I greatly miss this one character. Catwoman.
Oh my god. What is going on in the new 52? We are dropping Catwoman.
Catwoman also is becoming a major player in Eternal. So Eternal, yeah.
Still whack.
And that which brings me to my problem with the Batman books right now is we're only 3 years into the new 52.
And it's a hot mess.
Just the Batman books alone have like six separate continuities going.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
it's insane.
Batman Eternal comes out and it's a weekly. And originally I'm like, I'm already reading Batman weekly. But I was like, well, this is going to be where all the continuity flows in. And basically all the monthlies are going to be a tie-in with this weekly. And I'm the only person in this room reading Eternal. And because it's not being mentioned in the other books.
I'm buying Eternal if that helps.
That doesn't help.
I'm just not reading it.
Well, no, but like if you like one of my absolute favorite DC characters of all time is Catwoman. I've loved her since I was little, and I reread. Lisa has the entire like Catwoman series pre New 52, so the modern stuff.
The Ed Brubaker stuff is fantastic.
It's amazing, and I feel like I just finished reading that right when the New 52 started, and so to go from that, which Catwoman was amazing, and she kicked butt, and she was like on par like with Batman, and she wasn't bad, she wasn't good, she was just kind of there. It's like, and then you go into the New 52, and Catwoman is just... It's so bad right now.
It's so bad.
It makes
since
me hurt.
The New 52, like the entire
pretty much. No. Yeah.
Pretty much. And they changed the creative teams a couple of times, and it
still
stayed
just
bad.
Crap.
And it stayed bad.
Ooh, idea. Put Gale on Catwoman.
Oh yeah, let's do that.
Let's do that.
Yeah,
I am so
like
done
no-brainer.
With Anne though. Yeah. Like, with the writer Catwoman Anne.
Yeah.
Anne
Nocenti. She was a big X-Men editor in the 80s. Like,
that's funny.
Like, what the hell is this Jewel Thieves story? Like,
garbage.
I think I stopped around the Zero issue, so I haven't read it
in
a while.
Oh, my God.
I mean, as DC Comics, the only thing you really have is stocking your characters, right? And you do so much time and energy in developing Catwoman in the Hush series to become Batman's equal.
Yes.
You know, like, you do that. And then you also develop...
And in her run with Ed Brubaker,
around
the same time.
But I feel like Ed caught on to that and used that and then perpetuated
it,
which is awesome. And then you also had the rise of Harley Quinn as well, like at the exact same time. Where like in comic book world, like she started getting
They brought her in during No Man's Land and then gave her own series.
And then she had her own right complexes after, yeah. that like really made good. Her fill out. Yeah. So you would think of your characters as stock. You would think that you've already invested so much in them that you would keep them at this level. And then you go in, and I'm reading the Harley Quinn, like, Amanda Conner series. And I'm
yeah,
just like,
we're not reading that.
This is embarrassing. Uh-uh. Like, this is embarrassing.
I read the first couple of issues, and then I dropped off. But I've been finding that it's selling out all the time, so yep. I'm like,
People are buying it just because it's Harley Quinn, but it's not Harley Quinn you know and love. It's not her.
It's the Big Bang Theory complex. Like, people that are posers in the community that just know these characters.
I feel we need more female writers in comic books, but don't just give it to anybody.
Right.
Because Anne sucks. I am so done with Amanda. We need more people like Gail Simone.
Yeah.
I don't like any other
female. There's only
female.
One Gail Simone, though.
I know, but I feel like just suck.
You ever feel like editorial should just be like, hey, Gail, do you know anyone that you admire writing and like to like hop in?
Yeah.
I mean, Scott Snyder did that with What Is Whack as Hell, James Tillion the 18th or something like that. Like, he's so whack. Like, he every time he writes something, I'm like, dude, you must have did something to someone's balls to get this job because you suck.
Devin Grayson. Yes. Yeah. Devin Grayson was awesome.
Well, like, I remember when Brian Michael Bendis was started New Avengers, mm-hmm. and then around House of M time, he had an assistant editor, Brian Reed. Okay. And he was like, you know what, Brian? I'm going to throw your name up to Joe and see if he'll give you a book. And he took Miss Marvel. And he ran with Miss Marvel for a long time. And Miss Marvel wasn't all like, oh, I'm trying on shoes with the Invisible Woman. Miss Marvel was like, I am killing Skrulls left and right in New York City right now.
Yes.
Where the hell are the rest of the Avengers?
That is awesome.
Like, it was such an awesome Miss Marvel
book. That's
what we
need. We need more kick-ass females.
Yeah. And
writing kick-ass females, not writing 12-year-old girls.
But still, I just feel like, why can't editorial just be like, Gail, Absolutely. We need someone to pick up the slack here. What do you want? Because right now we're
like name your own replacement.
Yeah, but it seems like editorial hasn't held Gail in that high regard.
They don't.
Gail was a superstar pre New 52, and it seems like since New 52 they've kept her around because she has a fan following. But I feel like, you know,
they're not utilizing her.
That's
though.
Why Gail should hop over to the X-Men.
But they're not utilizing anything.
I think she would do really good
artists.
With the X-Men.
It just feels like
books.
All the editorial team at DC is all idiots from the 90s.
Well, Bob Harris.
Well, I know he's running it, but it's just like he probably hired all these other idiots.
Well, he gave Rob Liefeld work. He gave Scott Lobdell work.
Yeah.
He gave Fabian Nicieza work. It was all the X guys from the 90s on those original New 52
books. Why that guy has a job still is staggering.
Well, he was fired after the first X-Men movie. Because the X-Men books didn't sell any better after the first Bryan Singer movie.
Yeah.
Because they were incomprehensible.
Yep.
Hold on. What Batgirl?
So this Batgirl, this new young 12-year-old Batgirl. Mm.
She's not... She's just... From the
She just looks aged down.
Do you think that, like, this is a reaction to how well the Bombshells have been going? Like, just now thinking about it. Like,
what do you mean?
Oh, because it has more leather and it has more, like...
Oh, so the costume, not the 12-year-old
and
part.
And the age itself, because the Bombshells are softer looking, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, no, but you can clearly tell that the Bombshells are women. Like, you look at that picture of Batgirl, and anyone who sees that as a woman has a serious problem.
Yeah, I think the Batgirl, it's a good, like, drawing, and it's great art, but it's like, that's like Batgirl year one.
That's not her now. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm sorry, I cannot see her kicking ass.
And that's
the weird
thing to me. It feels like a reboot. But it's obviously not a reboot because it's taking place in the new 52.
They will not. DC will not do a number one for their characters anymore. Like, you can feel it.
I don't know. You can feel us moving up to this new Infinite Crisis next year. I wouldn't be surprised.
The moment
they do
a number one, they're already disrespecting the new 52 as is.
I totally think they're going to do a number one every month.
Absolutely.
They've made horrible decisions. I think history is going to repeat itself, and we will definitely see number one.
New 52?
We're going to see new
52.
I think it'll have another brand.
You want to know something really
like
weird?
Like new New York. Yeah.
So if you look at the 52 counts for like the original books that came out, like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, who also is going through a creative change team. When Justice League, Dawn of Justice, whenever that movie comes out in 2016, May or something like that, on that week is when all the 52 books hit the number issue 52.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And it's like you're kind of like messing with those waters where it's just like, our Justice League movie is coming out. All our issues are 52. what are we gonna do? It's just like reboot.
Dito's gonna have a fucking great dream.
Double size 52 issues the next month
with 3D covers. Don't forget the 3D covers.
52 pages.
No, we'll have pop up covers. They'll be 2 feet tall.
But holograms.
Somebody said they did. They counted them. There's been 52 cancellations.
And they do not publish 52 books a month anymore.
Nope.
They've done more cancellations than they've done launches.
Yep.
But we are getting. And that's also bothered me about the New 52. It seems like we pared down to the core DC universe. And what we're seeing now is when books are canceled, there are more Bat books coming out. Because we're getting Arkham Manor and we're getting Gotham Academy.
Yeah.
And it's...
You know what it is? It's like Batman's going through like what the X-Men did in the 90s. Where it's just like, Batman just used to be like Batman, Robin, Batgirl. Now it's like Batman, Robin, Red Hood, Batgirl, Batwoman, mm-hmm. Harley Quinn. It's just like, there's like 30 sidekicks.
It's more than it was in the...
Bluebird or whatever that new character is.
I think it's like, more than it was in the 90s. In the 90s it was pretty heavy because it was Batman, Detective, Legends, Shadow.
I'm talking about sidekicks.
And then Robin, Nightwing, Birds of Prey. But I think you're right. Which I think we have more good. Now.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is they're dropping... They started with the New 52, and they gave people books that shouldn't have their own books. Mm. Like, they had a lot of stupid titles.
But I disagree.
Now they're cutting, they're like trimming the fat, and they're like, oh shit, where's all these losses now?
Yeah,
so let's put out more Batman books. Batman always sells. We'll make up the money that way.
Except they're not necessarily good books.
Right.
No, but people will buy it because it's Batman.
Yeah, people are buying it. John's buying four. You're still buying Batgirl. You're buying two.
Yeah. It was like Robin Rises. That was... I thought Robin Rises was a great book, but it's everything that Batman and Robin has been building to. As we said, there's all these separate continuities, so it's not like all the other books are going to be following Robin Rises now. So why wasn't that just the next issue of Batman and Robin? For that matter, wasn't the Forever Evil miniseries, the Arkham War, which was Tomasi and was great, why wasn't that just six issues of the Batman and Robin tie-in?
Why sell one book a month when you can sell two? That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and why sell a Green Lantern book that won't sell when you can sell a Batman that will?
And that's what I was going to say is the New 52 I liked originally in concept because it was like they were giving a lot of characters that normally wouldn't get a book, like Omak. Who gives a shit about Omak? I don't. But it's like
if Dan DiDio wrote Omak.
Katana.
Sure, but that's what I'm saying. It's just like Captain Atom has his own book. And it's like Captain Atom as a character sucks, but if somebody can write a good Captain Atom story, I'll read anything that's good as long as it's well done. So now what they're doing with the comics, DC, is like they're doing exactly what they're doing in the movies, where it's just like, you know, if Omak doesn't work, cancel it and come out with another Batman book. If Infinity or the Forever People sucks, when it's going to get canceled in like four issues probably, they'll come out with another Batman book because that's their only safe bet right now.
Right, and I think I was okay with that because I think we got a better Aquaman out of that.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
They killed Shazam. They killed it, and Shazam was awesome.
Yep.
So I'm okay with that, but it's like... You know, they're also big, you know, characters, too. It wasn't like the side ones. So it's like, do we need Amanda Waller having her own book? Like,
no.
Eh.
No. And it's like, if
you didn't do anything
Amanda...
different with it. Right. So you're pissing away the opportunity. So I agree with that. The opportunity was good, but they didn't do it justice.
And on top of that, I think they also make up the losses every time a video game comes out. Because we have like a third Injustice comic book storyline.
That Arkham line has been running for a long time.
I gotta say, though, I'm not reading a lot of DC books, but the one I'm consistently reading, and I hate video game properties adapted to comics, that Injustice book is awesome.
Is it?
Yeah. It's phenomenal. And it's just like, it's the best DC book I'm reading right now.
You know, it's an Elseworlds, to be honest.
It is. That's totally an ongoing Elseworlds.
Like some of the funnest stuff is Elseworlds because you don't need it to worry tying up to other things.
And I think that's why it's so good, is because it's... You if I can't figure out what the continuity is, like you guys said, there's like six different continuities for the Batman universe alone right now. Well, then there's the Superman continuity and all this other stuff, and him and Wonder Woman or whatever. It's like, there's so many different convoluted things. It's like, it's nice to read one book that has all those characters with one continuity.
And you know what that reminds me is, it's been a year, and I thought I would be tired of this book by now, but I still love Batman 66.
Oh,
Every month I get it, I go, this is going to be fun. Every month it's fun. And it's been like, we're up to like issue 14.
And people have been buying it like crazy.
It's good.
And sales are still good.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy about it. It doesn't sell crazy good, but it sells enough to where they'll probably finish printing them. But it's digital first. All that stuff was available online years ago.
And it was fun. We talked about it the week it came out. The animations they did for digital first have been working really well.
Yeah.
But what they found with digital is that it's an audience that isn't buying the paper books.
Yeah.
So the digital selling well, then the monthly selling well.
Right.
The hardcover was like on the New York Times bestseller list the week it came out.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's good for them because they found a way to do something cheaply first that they wouldn't normally be able to do. So like Adventures of Superman is their other like reprint book, I guess you'd call it.
Which is a great book.
Right. But it's all reprint stuff that was digital first online.
Mm, right.
So it's like they found...
And Legends of the Dark Knight, they're doing that way too.
And that's really smart. It's like that is a good thing they're doing, where they find a way to do something online for cheap. It sells really well online, and they're like, oh, let's print it and see what happens. And then it sells really well in print, and then the hardcover sells. It's like, they are being smart about some stuff, but it's
and
like...
And it seems like the digital first, they're really focused on done-in-one stories.
Yeah.
Like you pay 99 cents, you get a beginning, middle, and end, because that Batman 66 is like an anthology.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not as heavy into these crossovers or multi-issue arcs.
And that's good, too, because I think the 90% of, and just going with like the big two companies, even Image, 90% of the material they're publishing it's not one-shot stories. It's these long, drawn-out stories, you know, and that's good for something like Snyder's initial couple runs on Batman, but even that's kind of like, and to be crude, I guess is the word, it's like Scott Snyder's pretty much like a date that puts out but doesn't ever let you finish. Think about it. Hang on a second.
Give us details.
Let me take this to the end of the runway and see what happens.
Alrighty.
All right.
My man just
so Scott co-pilot. Snyder.
Let's go. He's on the DVD set. Give it to him.
No. Yep. Hang on a sec. He's writing these books where it's just like all this build up, all this awesome stuff. He's doing all the right things, and then you're about to finish, and he's just like, "Nope,
I'm tired.
You're gonna walk away with blue balls because I can't like wrap up the story and look a good thing." To the point where
it's like Bendis.
Yeah,
that's how I feel about Bendis.
Bendis never has an ending.
Bendis not only doesn't have an ending, he did the same thing. He was Geoff Johns before Geoff Johns in the sense where he got really big with all this like online stuff or whatever, which is great. Yeah, like these guys should, right? But then he, like, way overstayed his welcome on Avengers to the point where it's just like, I'm ready to, like, storm the castle to get anyone to write that fucking book. And finally we got, like, a different writer on it, and it's just like, all right, cool, now I can read Avengers again. And Geoff Johns did the same thing. He was on Green Lantern so long, he did so many awesome story arcs, but now it's just like, Blackest Night, Brightest Day.
Well, there was that five, he was amazing for 5 years.
Yeah,
Green Lantern was my favorite book for 5 years, up until Blackest Night.
But he was probably on it for 10.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing I consider Bendis
Blackest
on Avengers.
Night to be, I know you don't like Blackest Night, but I consider
by that point I'm done.
I consider that to be the climax of his run.
That's because, what should have ended there.
Yeah, I think when he pitched Green Lantern, he had that.
Yeah.
Because he was laying seeds for 2 years before that. And I think it was selling, and they were like, what do you want to do now? And he's like, okay, next month, page one. And you could feel it.
Yeah, he had no idea where he was going. And that's what I'm saying with, like, Bendis was the same way on Avengers, where it's like, these 10-year arcs on books gotta go. It's gotta be, like, 5 years and get out of the office. Same thing with the management. Dito, Quesada, all these guys, they all need to go in a closet somewhere, and somebody lobs a grenade in there to do us all a favor, because it's like, these guys had really good ideas when they started, but now you're starting to see,
well, Dito needs to do what Quesada did. Quesada's not really there anymore. Quesada's out in L.A., making sure the movies are working.
Yeah.
He's not really day-to-day on the books anymore, and maybe they said Geoff Johns is doing it, but Geoff Johns is still trying to do like 4 monthlies.
I know.
At the same time, he's spread too thin.
You can't run a company and do all those books.
And now with this move, with Warner's moving out completely to Burbank,
maybe the sales reps are super thrilled about that.
Yeah, maybe DiDio needs to be Xavier Rad. Maybe DiDio needs to be just making sure that Batman versus Superman is not as horrible as I think it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's, I don't know.
That's a different story, though, because it's like, what are you? I'm the leader. I'm the head guy of DC Comics. That's interesting. We're Warner Brothers. We've been making movies for like a million years.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't you got ideas? Go talk. The person in charge of the movies is the person that was in charge of the Harry Potter movies.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
So it's just like, what's your ideas? Because I just made 8 blockbusters.
But in the same argument, Avi Arad is a toy guy.
Yeah.
Avi Arad came from Toy Biz.
And that's how he got into Marvel.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. He's not a movie guy. He's a toy dude. And now he's leading all the Marvel stuff.
That's why he's coming with all those ideas.
But you know, nobody paid attention. But to Dave's point, nobody paid attention to Marvel Studios until Iron Man was the hit it was.
No. Avi Arad did Spider-Man. that changed everything. Yeah, and that first Spider-Man movie came out.
Yeah, but as terms of a studio, it was Iron Man that blew everyone away because everyone knew Spider-Man was going to make money because he's Spider-Man.
Well, no, let's not talk about Spider-Man right now.
But no, I'm just saying that took 20 years to make that movie. Right. They couldn't get their shit
together. Yeah, Stan was trying to get it made and he couldn't.
From the 70s. You know what the and that's what I'm saying.
Part is that like we talk about comic books and like we have a lot of gripes about all this stuff, but it's not comic books itself because we never complain about indie books at all.
Nope.
Like, you ever notice that?
We're not
like,
reading enough of them.
No, I read. We are. That's all I read. Yeah.
Like, Saga is one of the best ones
out there. Saga is amazing.
Why the Last Man still is alive in the world.
Powers was Powers great.
Is awesome. Red Sonja is really Red good. Sonja and not just because it's Gale. I know crazy. Everyone's going to say that. But it yeah, is but absolutely hilarious.
The reason we don't do that true is because indie books... For every DC book that comes out and gets canceled, there are 30 indie books that come out and get canceled. There are 30 indie books that launch every month that no one's reading.
Right, but the ones that...
They don't have the push behind them.
Right.
But there's also that freedom, too. Like, yeah. Totally. What's his name? Scott Snyder is doing American Vampire. And he's also doing... What's the other one? Wake?
Yeah.
Like, those are amazing stories. So what are they doing right that Batman is not getting right?
Maybe it's editorial.
It's not an editorial. You're not bogged down with fucking 75 years of continuity.
But they're not bogged down with 75 years of continuity. They wiped it out with New 52.
No, but they have to play by the same rules.
No, but and we're saying they're not paying attention to each other. It, you know, if the Batman was a cohesive year, everything would have been Zero Year, and now everything would have been Robin Rises, and we wouldn't have a weekly book.
But that was never happening.
Here's how you know they have rules. Saga, next month, they could kill the main character. They can kill him, and the book will continue. Right. They can't kill Batman and not bring him back. So there's a freedom with indie books where you don't have to play around with these, you know,
like,
rules of
like The Walking Dead. Everyone pretty much dies.
Exactly.
But there's a whole other dimension,
and it'll still continue.
The other dimension here is that you have all the continuity, but these are huge corporations.
Yep.
So there are too many hands in the pot.
Yes. Exactly.
Too many cooks.
That's like, the other thing.
That's why they tank. Not only is it, we're limited as to who we can kill, who we can't. It's also, there's too many people, and like John said, they're not communicating. So indie books can pull
that's
shit off.
That's a really good
better.
Point, because like you said, you know, they've got all these rules and these guys and protecting corporate characters. Saga, almost every issue opens up with like, I mean, literally the last issue was a fucking robot being born out of a robot vagina. And they drew everything. All right? And
this is how far behind I am in Saga. The last thing I read was robots having sex.
All right. Right. So hold on. Hang on. Let me finish.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in Saga. The same week that came out, Marvel released Miracle Man, which they started bagging because there's a pretty graphic like birth scene coming. But that birth scene is like 5 issues away still, and they're bagging it now. There's nothing in the book that's so outrageous that they can't show when Saga's got fucking baby being
born. People having sex.
And that's
multiple
the same thing.
Issues.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they'll get in trouble on like big internet websites because they'll have like graphic gay porn in Saga, which is like ridiculous. You know, that they're getting, like, heat for that. But then DC will be like, Batwoman can't get married to a girl because we got to protect our images. Yeah, and they can say whatever reason they want. They did that because it's like somebody in that office is a fucking homophobe. Like,
well,
seriously.
The more money something makes, the more people there are afraid that it will stop making money.
Yeah, but like Marvel's
owned by
Disney.
But how many people
are
reading Batwoman, though, honestly?
Yeah,
I mean,
but
honestly.
More than Saga, I would guess.
Marvel's owned by Disney, and yet we had 2 X-Men get married last summer.
Yeah. But Disney is kind of gay-friendly, though. They do have their gay days.
And Disney is kind of hands-off with their companies. They're not messing with Pixar. They don't mess with Henson. They don't mess with Lucasfilm. When they buy something...
They buy it because it makes money, and they leave it alone so
they're buying it
to make money.
They're buying it for them to make money for them, not for them to control it.
Right.
And Warner Brothers doesn't seem to be doing that.
I mean, Death of the Family, like, it really set up like Scott Snyder was going to kill somebody. Like, he was going to...
Yeah. I was ready for Alfred.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Like, I was convinced it was Alfred.
And the New 52 was a year old, so I was like, you could kill anybody you want.
So that's what I was thinking. Right. Is like, you read that first one, you read that second one, it's like, this dude's going to kill someone. This is awesome. Like, someone's going to die. And then we started having that conversation in the shop. It's like, this is way too early for someone to die already. Like, this is...
Blue balls.
Yeah, and then, exactly. Issue 5 comes out, and you're like, this isn't Scott Snyder writing this. this is DC Comics telling him he can't kill somebody.
So what do you think his original script said?
I think what happened is, like, I'm going to use all my great ideas and put him in Wake over here in the indie world.
But that issue, that final issue of the Death of the Family, what do you think he turned in?
Somebody was supposed to die.
Yeah, somebody absolutely 100% was going to die.
And who do you think it was?
I don't know. But
Alfred?
Alfred, most likely.
And did they have their faces cut off?
No, I thought their faces were cut off.
But see, here's the thing. And I don't remember that story too well. Now, so Joker fake cut their faces off?
Yes. Yeah. And he wrapped their face, their actual faces. Like, the people are sitting there, and their faces are wrapped in bloody bandages. And he has Botoxed actual... basically
them so they couldn't feel their faces.
Right. All right, now here's a question. You're the Joker. You're a crazy person. You don't think twice about murder, maim, anything.
You would have peeled everybody's fucking face
off. Everyone's face would be off. Everyone.
And I think that's...
I could buy that he thinks it's funny that Batman thinks their face
is
off.
No, I think
it's much funnier when now Batman has to look and see, oh, all their faces are
Because Joker has his face off, so it's like, hey...
We're all part of the team. We're all a family.
That's why I felt the true ending to Death of the Family was going to be everyone's face is off. And Batman's like, no, come on, guys, we can still put this together.
We have no faces.
And then, like, Batman wastes...
We're all hush.
Batman wastes Wayne Foundation... Like, he wastes Wayne money to, like, get them plastically surgery put back on. And the true death of the family is the fact that nobody in the Batman universe, Batgirl, Nightwing, Robin, Jason Todd, Red Robin, all of them don't want to go out anymore.
Yeah, they don't.
That's the death of the family. The fact that... Batgirl doesn't want to go on patrol anymore. She just had her face taken off. Like, that messes you up.
Yeah.
So I felt that's what was supposed to happen. And then Scott was like, all right, guys, you got 2, maybe 3 months, but your storyline is all your characters rebuilding their confidence and going back on top of their game.
That'd be pretty
cool. And I think that would have been phenomenal storytelling. Just think about all the different writers in the books, and if he just said, hey, look, guys, here's what's going to happen. Write it like your character. Because how many ideas can you even have if you're writing a monthly, like Batgirl or something? You can only have so many ideas. When another writer's like, here's a situation that happens, it's actually kind of good, I think, to get that idea and react and try to be like, all right, look, you know, crazy things happen in people's lives all the time. So, like, if, you know, I drive home and get hit by a car, it's just like, that's crazy and I have to deal with that. And I think writers getting these curveballs thrown at them like this makes for interesting stories where they can be like, I didn't expect him to get his face cut off.
That's why something like No Man's Land worked. It was like, let's destroy Gotham City and stick everyone there. It's like, well, I have story ideas I can't use.
Everyone has story ideas.
Yeah, everyone.
And I think that would have been phenomenal. And yeah, you want to bring all the characters back and you grow their faces back or whatever the fuck science-y
bullshit. They eventually come back. But the thing is, for like 2 or 3 months,
you get this
crazy like scenario where like, it's just Batman and Gotham. He's going on something. He wants to call Nightwing. Nightwing won't answer his calls.
Yeah.
He wants to get Robin or something.
Won't
answer his call because everyone's just like, dude, my face came off. I don't feel like playing dress up today.
If they did that, you could still have each book and then have that hero's villains reacting. So you could take the heroes could have taken like a backseat and been all depressed and traumatized or whatever. But then you can have the people in their area of the city reacting to it and trying to get out there and, like, wreaking havoc. You could have totally changed how Gotham City was.
Imagine Two-Face taking advantage of this moment, just being like, oh, I don't got that little kid to worry about.
Awesome.
Fucking throw over.
Or even just relating with him and having half of his face destroyed. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many ways you could go with that. All I'm saying is that as
Two-Face could have become the new, like, Batman, save fucking Gotham City.
Because he needed...
Two-Face would have had no sympathy for any of them.
Right! He would have been...
off? Oh, sad for you. I got two faces!
No, but he has half a face.
Half a face.
They have their whole entire face.
They have a face every day! Every day, half a face!
That's his body, isn't it?
The complex is his coin, you know what I mean? Like, that's really where it would come into play. All I'm saying is that there's two things. One, it seems like Marvel has accepted the indie culture.
Yeah.
It is blowing up really well.
Yeah.
And
Marvel,
that's one of their successes.
That's how they farm their talent. Marvel has always gone to the indie books.
That's where Hickman came from.
Yeah.
That's where
Fraction came from. DC looks like they are going complete corporate like with this.
Yeah,
yeah, I think today's point, I think it's like DC is kind of like the stodgy old white guy in the room. Because, no, hang on. Marvel They have been because they're an older company, I think. Marvel,
even in the Silver Age.
Marvel just announced a new Avengers lineup, and it's 40% is white men.
Yeah.
When normally it's like 98%. Mm-hmm. So it's like we got a female Thor, Black Captain America, all these different things are doing, which is awesome and diversifying like the line, which I think is what the company needs. And DC's just like, we can't have Batwoman get married. But it's just like Archie's doing gay marriages, Archie's doing trans characters, and it's like
Archie's dying.
Archie's well, that's
Archie got killed this week.
Archie's actually on the forefront of like pushing the boundaries of like what should be acceptable in comics and trying to make the comics
because they're Archie, they need some kind of spotlight, so they're willing to go that far.
But you know, Archie's been around probably as long as like or for you know since the '50s. So
and
like,
huge point, it's kid friendly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So they're teaching all this like acceptance and trying to represent what the world's really like instead of just a bunch of white dudes running around. And that's like DC can't stop doing that. And even Marvel, it's like, all right, we understand Peter Parker's a white guy, Captain America's a white guy. That's Fantastic Four, one of these guys. But it's like they're trying to change things and push characters like the Ms. Marvel book. Is selling better than Amazing Spider-Man. Not in my store, but in, like, overall in the industry. That first issue sold better than Amazing Spider-Man. And it's a teenage Muslim girl, and it's just like, and it's a phenomenal book, and it's just like, yeah, this is, we need more books like this. They can't keep canceling all these crazy books when it's just like, why can't we just have something a little bit more interesting and different?
But more so, it's a creative mainstream, and that, I mean, it's a creative like outlet, which I think we forget when we have so much money backing it, that we gotta unleash some of these artists, like, or unleash some of these writers. Like, I want to know what Gail Simone, like, I remember the Gail Simone indie book where Shazam forgot the word Shazam.
Welcome to Tranquility. Yeah. That's one of my favorite
like,
stories.
And you know what I mean? Like, that's a really good story that, like, this is what happens when you unleash. Sure, you may get 8 bad stories for every one amazing story, but that one amazing story is worth it. Like, and I think we're going through that with Batman, but everyone has handcuffs on right now. Mm-hmm. Gotham is handcuffed. Yeah.
And I feel like, I keep going back to Robin Reyes because I was honestly excited about it. I feel like the only way to shake things up is the way Tomasi is doing it. There was a period after, it was really depressing after Robin died and he didn't know what to do with it. And then he went, oh, I'm going to do Brave and the Bold now.
Yeah,
and it's going to be Catwoman and Two-Face and Frankenstein.
And I think that's a great
idea. And Robin
Batman
Rises.
And Frankenstein was actually, at first I saw it and I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird, whatever.
Yeah.
But then when I read it, I'm like, I actually kind of like him with Frankenstein. Like, yeah, this is working for me.
And,
this
and that's
looks
the crazy
good.
Thing about Batman is because, you know, Batman, essentially the character is like a man in the city. So it's just like, he's a crime fighter working in the city, stopping guys with bullets. But in this other book named Justice League, he's out in space, time traveling, fighting alien gods with an alien who's his best friend.
Jen's made this point before.
Let me tell you where Robin Rises leads off. And if you don't want to buy Batman and Robin after this, I will tell it to you again. But in Robin Rises, he gets Ra's al Ghul. Spoilers for a book that's selling really well, and it's going to lead into the next one. Ra's al Ghul has stolen the bodies of Talia and Damian because it's his daughter and his grandson. He wants to dip them in the Lazarus pit. And Batman's been chasing him for like 6 issues with Frankenstein and Aquaman and Wonder Woman. And then right before Robin Rises, he catches up to them. And a boom tube opens and parademons come out. And it turns out Ra's al Ghul has a piece of apocalyptic crystal in the sarcophagus. So they steal it, and then the last page of Robin Rises is him yelling at the Justice League, I'm going to Apocalypse and getting back Robin, and I don't care who says no.
That's awesome.
So this story is Batman in Apocalypse by himself.
And that's
the way you can shake things up, is by, if we can't get more realistic, if DC is putting the handcuffs on for cutting faces off, it's like, let's do Batman, let's do the cartoon Brave and the Bold. Let's push him in the other direction as far as it can go, and at least it's something different. It's not James Gordon is tried for murder again, and he's in jail again, which is going on in Batman Eternal.
And I think that's something that works so well with Batman. Like you said, it's just like, Batman can go in space, and Batman can team up with the Justice League, and Batman can team up with Frankenstein, and Batman can just solve a murder in Gotham. Mm-hmm. Like, he can do and fit anywhere to where it's like, there's probably not a scenario you could put Batman in where I'm like, I wouldn't read that.
I don't know, dude. I mean,
Batman golfing.
When Batman New 52
Batman
came out,
in the jungle?
I don't know.
Batman
I'm
in the jungle.
This up, but like when Batman came out, New 52, the first thing we were promised was that like he's gonna become a myth again.
Yeah.
Right. Like that was it. Yeah. He was gonna become a myth. Like people don't believe that he exists. And then the second thing we were gonna be like, he's gonna become a detective again. like, we're going to see him do the CSI kind of, like, checking it all out, checking out the area. We've gotten none of that. Like, out the gate, we have gotten none of that.
No, it was, like I said, let's put new creative teams on, let them do whatever they want. Well, Detective has had three different teams in 3 years.
Well, I think the only scene where you get that is that first issue of Justice League where they're all kind of meeting each other and, like, I don't know if it was Flash or Green Lantern.
Lantern.
He's like, so wait, you're just a guy in a suit?
Yeah.
Like, you have no powers?
That was cool.
Yeah, like, that that issue, that first issue.
Because that was Jeff Johns. So, exactly. And he loves Batman, even though he doesn't write it well, and he loves Green Lantern, he does write it
right,
well.
Right, and so I think that was
what
the only...
So was those two characters.
Right, that was the only time you get to see that, like, no one, everyone's just kind of like, wait, so you're just a guy who, you're like, hangs out in a cave?
But that was kind of that first Grant Morrison arc of JLA, too, was like that, with these aliens pose as superheroes, and, like, we're better than we're better than Justice League, and then they take out the whole Justice League in the Watchtower, and Batman's like, oh, I got this. And there's an issue of him just sneaking through the vents, and he beats everybody. And Grant Morrison even says, he's like, that's why Batman is in the Justice League.
Like, I jumped off on Batman After Death of a Family, but I did give Year Zero a try. Yeah. And I think when I flipped through the pages and I saw Batman and his Bruce and Batman gear, I was like, fuck this book. Because the original premise, what I was told that Year Zero was going to be Batman traveling through Europe, learning to be Batman.
I didn't hear that at all. I heard it was the New 52 update of Year One.
No,
and it was going to be what happens in between the scenes.
They shifted that halfway through.
They said what it was supposed to be was supposed to take place after his parents got murdered and before Year One.
But he's fighting.
That's what I got too.
Yeah, he's fighting bone monsters, and the Riddler takes over Gotham City, and he's punching lions in the face.
Yeah.
And my whole problem with Zero Year, I'm like, you could have just done this in New 52. You could have just done a story where Riddler takes over and he fights a bone monster. It's I don't see anything in here that makes this an arc.
That's the reason why I hopped off, because it was supposed to be like, you know, you get to see Batman, and maybe like in the Paul Dini animated series, you get to see Batman like interact with Zatanna's father and learn how to like break out of things, and then you get to see him like maybe he'll like being in Russia and learn how to sword fight.
But you did see that in the backups in the first couple issues,
yeah.
And those were phenomenal.
And that was the best thing.
Now they stopped doing it
because originally, like, you know, there was going to be a moment when he fights a crime lord, and that crime lord was going to be the character from Mask of the Phantasm. That's who he was supposed to fight because Scott Snyder is such a huge fan from the cartoon. So after he fights that guy and beats him at the end of Zero Year, which was the original premise of it, he goes back to Gotham and he's like, I need to do something. I need to do something that's intimidating. And he thinks of the Mask of the Phantasm. He's like, I need to strike fear. And that's how it happens.
So he wouldn't have been in costume at all?
No, he would have not been in costume. He would have been like maybe like a mask or maybe like just something to hide him. And that's a Batman story that you could do without having to hold back. That's Scott Snyder's like indie run right there. He doesn't have to worry about like running into the Riddler, setting up Joker. He doesn't have to worry about any of Gotham like backstory because he's not even in Gotham.
And I think that story, not a year long, you do several months or six months.
Issues.
Yeah, 6 issues of no Batman. Then when you finally reveal Batman for the first time in 6 months in that book, it'd be huge. It'd be awesome. But it's like, nah, drag it out a year. Bone monsters and...
But like, you know how awesome would have been? It's like, all right, I'm doing it. Time to do it. And then like you turn the page and it's a page from Batman Year One.
The greatest thing in the world.
This week.
Okay, so I want to ask everybody one question. We've been going round and round about what's wrong with the Batman books, and I think we have all really valid points. If you could do one thing to fix the Batman books right now, what would it be? Dave?
All right, this is how we're going to fix them. I already stated this on Facebook. We're going to ask Grant Morrison to do a one-shot. Get Alex Ross to pencil it, and you're going to bring in a character named Batmite. And Batman's going to be like, this is fucked up. Magic! And then it's just going to fix everything. We're going to have Batman as Batman. Nightwing's going to be in the blue costume. Robin's going to be in like his one year later costume with like the red and the yellow trimming. Damian might be back. Who knows? It's just going to be like Gail Simone be riding Birds of Prey with like all the missing female characters. So we'll get Cassandra Cain. We'll get... maybe we'll get Batwoman. We'll get Black Canary. We'll get all of them back in there. And at the end, Grant takes a pose. He breaks the fourth wall. And he goes like, all right, guys, pick up the slack.
Well, that was... Fuck. I think... I would think the biggest thing they need to do is taper down the amount of books they have and just get, like, back to basics with Batman. None of these crazy gadgets and all this other goofy shit. Batman fighting criminals, like... you know, none of this goofy bone monsters and all this other goofy shit. Like, the farthest you can stretch Batman villains is, like, Mr. Freeze and Clayface. That's it, and Croc.
Yeah.
No more of this goofy Batman's turn into a bone monster and all this other horrendous shit. Just, like, back to basics. Like,
I feel like Bone Monster is the new Jump the Shark.
Cancel, like, half the books. And then come out with Batman, Batgirl, Robin, Nightwing, Birds of Prey. End of discussion. And, like, fucking simplify.
Yeah, ground. I mean, I agree with both of those. Ground the character. Give us what we were promised. Give us a guy that's a myth that is working so well that, like, he's you know, just policing everybody in his way. And that he has, like, the amazing skills, detective skills to, like, figure this all out. And give us a Gotham Central. Like, that's where we're missing is, like, that Gotham Central kind of feel of Ed.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping the Gotham TV show was going to be. No, and then they pushed it more into a prequel place.
It's not going to be that.
Two words. Fire Snyder.
Boom.
Done.
I agree.
I think, kind of piggybacking off of what everyone else has said, I think definitely cut down the number of books. I think we need to bring back characters that people have liked in the past and who have done really well.
Cass Kane.
Hell yeah, Cass Kane. Where the hell is she?
Where's my girl at?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think we need to do that. And I think maybe, you know, giving a shot at, like, I think Steven said it earlier about asking, you know, like Gail Simone, who would you want to write stories and stuff like that? Bring people in who maybe haven't done it before and give them a shot. Who knows? They could be phenomenal. I mean, yeah, it could be terrible, but can it really get much worse than it already is?
Can I do a team-up book? Catwoman, Cassandra Cain, Gail Simone, fighting down human trafficking.
Why
wouldn't that just be Birds of Prey?
Well, it could be Birds of Prey. I would love that if it was Birds of Prey. But if I can't get it, just give me Catwoman. Catwoman's like, oh my god, they're kidnapping girls in Gotham. Where are they going? Hong Kong? She goes to Hong Kong, bumps into Cassandra Cain.
What up?
Team up.
I love it. I would buy that book. Can we throw Talon on that team, too?
Yeah, I really...
Because I think...
Strix?
Yeah.
Strix, you mean?
Yeah.
Strix.
Let's throw Talon on that team.
Yeah. Mm.
The more the merrier.
I agree with most of you guys. There's too many books. What I would do, and I left this as a comment on your Facebook, Batman, Detective. Those are the two books that go back to the Golden Age. Those are the two books that survive. I say you leave Snyder and Capullo on Batman, but you let them do whatever they want. You don't get in their way. If they do something that's bad, you can retcon it later. Detective, give it to Tomasi. Move him from Batman and Robin. Him and Gleason, they've been doing a great job since the beginning. They're on a book that no one is paying attention to. Put them on Detective, which is a legacy book, instead of these rotating teams that aren't getting anywhere. Everything else gets canceled. The writers and artists that are doing those books that are doing a good job, the characters that are getting forgotten, the Harleys. Harley, I don't really consider a Batman book. She can probably survive. But Catwoman, Batgirl, Red Robin,
Nightwing.
Red Hood, Nightwing. You put them all in Batman Eternal. You give them a reason to exist. You make Batman Eternal what 52 was. You take all the characters that can't sell a book on their own, and then you do great stories with them, and they're all together. So that gives it a reason to sell. If I'm not the biggest Catwoman fan, but Nightwing's in there every week, then yeah, I'll buy that. And you give it one continuity. You don't have Batman in Apocalypse fighting parademons to get Robin back, and that's your big story. But in the meantime, you have this weekly book where he's running around Gotham City, and that's supposed to be your big story. You pick... This is what they've always been good at until New 52. You pick one story that's the big story, and everything ties into that. And then if you don't want to do that story, you're doing a smaller story. You're doing like Icarus. You can do Icarus and Detective while you're doing Endgame and Batman. But you don't also have Robin Rises on top of it. Mm-hmm. The problem is with all these big stories, I don't know what's going to count. It's just eventually there's going to be Robin, and he's going to pop up in the other books, but none of the other books are going to mention that any of this is happening.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. I don't even need it to tie into the rest of the DC universe. I think when I go back to the 90s as a golden age of Batman. When Denny O'Neil was running that, Chuck Dixon was doing totally different stuff than Kelly Jones was doing in Batman. Yeah. But it all felt like it was happening at the same time, and it all connected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Well, you can follow me at Not In My Book. That is the Caffeinated Comics Twitter feed. A lot of you people are, and thank you for everybody that's doing it through the podcast, and not just because I'm talking to Mike Drucker. or Mike Drucker and Gail Simone at the same time, because they're best friends. And Dave.
Well, you can find me on the internet and in real life, David_Redfield. But 19 South of Grange Road, where you can find Steven Brown. Aren't we doing a huge thing for Friday Night Magic?
Friday Night Magic. I mean, we have Friday Night Magic every week at Friday and at night. And
it's magical. It's magical.
At 19 South of Grange.
19 South of Grange.
I mean, the set just came out, right?
Let's see if we can streamline this. Yeah, 7:15. Let's see if we can streamline this, though. It, I think we're all pretty active on the Facebook, .com, Chimera's Comics, both in Oakland and and there. So this is where you can reach us all.
And, yeah, and don't forget the Caffeinated Comics Facebook
And the
page,
Caffeinated Facebook.
Which we pretty much all post on.
Yeah, now, yeah. And if you want to find us in real life, challenge mode. Come and get it.
Well, Tina, you're really active on Twitter.
I am active on Twitter. Yes, I did change my Twitter handle.
Can we make it Twiddle?
Yeah, my Twiddle handle changed. It was was at Tina Smash. It has now changed to at Timey Wimey Gal.
And you're the first person I noticed that you can change your address and not lose your followers.
Yep, you can.
That's cool.
Apparently something new that they're doing. Yeah. Fancy.
It's called the interweb.
The Googles.
Lisa?
Googles.
Lisa, do you want anybody finding you? Or?
No.
No.
She didn't even say
Lisa is the myth that Batman body. Is supposed to be.
Lisa leaned into the microphone and shook her head.
I'm at 19 South of Green Road every other Saturday.
Hello. All right, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Okay.
No, don't use the bathroom yet. I forgot to announce the winner. The winner of the bootleg complete Adam West DVD series. Is Dave Gonzalez.
Dave Gonzalez.
And it didn't get the biggest laugh in the room, but he accidentally called James Tynion the Fourth King James the 18th, and I can't get that out of my head.
When did that happen?
Therefore, somewhere up through, you rewind it.
Hold on. First off, I want to thank my mom. I want to thank my dad. I want to thank my mom for falling for my dad and all those shitty lines he threw at her. I want to thank Adam West for his amazing abilities. Da, da, da. And I'm out. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Caffeinated Comics is a Not In My Book production.
Take that, meatball!